Governor Doug Ducey signed the Dignity for Incarcerated Women bill into law on Wednesday. The bill addresses many of the issues raised by women living at the Perryville prison in Goodyear. KJZZ's Jimmy Jenkins is with us to talk about the significance of this bill. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
So you've been covering the conditions in the prisons. The women at Perryville and formerly incarcerated women have been calling attention to specific problems they face. Tell us all about that.
That's right, Steve. For many years now, you and I have talked about this several times. Women have written to us from Perryville. I've spoken to them in interviews and talked to them after they've been released. And this recurring problem they've expressed to us has been access to feminine hygiene products. The women say the prisons control the amount of pads and tampons they have access to, as well as toilet paper. And it's not enough for them to maintain a sanitary life and healthy living conditions. So several years ago, State Representative Athena Solomon first addressed this issue. She brought a bill that would guarantee more availability of these products. We covered that testimony on this bill at a committee at the legislature. The bill had been assigned to an all-male committee, Steve, and Solomon's fellow lawmakers, they tried to cut her off. They expressed a lot of discomfort just hearing about a woman's menstrual cycle. And when we published the story about the hearing, the issue took off on social media, and people sent thousands of pads and tampons to the State House in a show of solidarity.
Yeah, we remember the issue really seemed to strike a nerve with the public. But all that being said, Jimmy, did it lead to any significant changes?
Well, that's the thing. The Department of Corrections offered to change their internal policies, increasing the amount of hygiene products that were available to women. And so the bill didn't go anywhere at the time. But Representative Solomon cautioned that without a law, the department would be able to simply ignore their own policies. And incarcerated women told me that's exactly what happened. While at first there seemed to be a gesture to improve access, that quickly went away. Women were still forced to produce their old roll of toilet paper before they would get a new one. If they wanted more pads and tampons, they would have to ask a corrections officer to get them for them. And the women said the guards would use this as kind of a power play over them. Sometimes they'd retaliate against them, like by searching their cells and accusing them of hoarding these products.
Well, now we find ourselves in 2021. The session has just ended, and this bill actually had to pass the House and Senate twice, right?
Yes, a similar version of this bill passed both chambers earlier in the session, but it was one of that slew of bills that Governor Ducey vetoed. So State Senator Tony Navarrete brought the bill back again with some additional provisions, and it passed both chambers again, and this time the governor signed it. So now, by law, women in state prisons in Arizona are supposed to have free, unlimited access to pads, tampons, and toilet paper.
And Jimmy, there's more here. So what else does the bill address?
Right. Well, as we've reported, pregnant incarcerated women have really struggled to get proper healthcare treatment and proper nourishment, and the conditions they are subjected to are really quite shocking. I've interviewed women who lost their babies due to lack of proper diet, women who have given birth alone in the toilets of their cells. And so this bill addresses many of the issues that women experience during pregnancy in prisons. It does things like ban the shackling of pregnant women, which women have told me is just very dehumanizing and degrading. Even when they're at the hospital, they're shackled. It guarantees access to healthier prenatal diets for expecting mothers and allows incarcerated women to be with their newborns for 72 hours after birth. The bill also asked the department to try and keep women closer to their families to allow them more frequent visits with their children and their relatives. This is Representative Solomon talking about why that's important.
What the evidence shows is continued communication and connection with your family members, especially your children. A lot of children of incarcerated women will either end up in kinship care or end up in foster care. And so keeping that connection and making sure that we can continue that is both healthy for the woman, but also crucial in the children's development.
Jimmy, let's close with a question that is skeptical, but it almost has to be. Now that these policies have been made law, is there reason to believe the Department of Corrections will follow them? You've been reporting on this for a long time. You've shown the department still violates terms of court-ordered health care benchmarks. Incarcerated people often claim the department is violating their constitutional rights. So what do you think is going to make this any different?
Well, that's right, Stephen. You're right to be skeptical. The department has been repeatedly sanctioned for failing to deliver adequate health care, so they don't have a good track record here. But attorneys I spoke to about this said it does matter that these guidelines have been codified as opposed to just being department policies. They believe the provisions could be enforced in court if DOC doesn't comply. And in addition to a lawsuit seeking to enforce the provisions of the law itself, if state officials are doing something that is prohibited by state law, that's evidence that they know of and are disregarding a risk of harm, which would be a violation of the Eighth Amendment.
Okay. KJZZ's Jimmy Jenkins, thanks for your reporting as always.
Oh, you're welcome, Steve.